From the Omaha Bugle Global News Headquarters, this is the Global News Network with Senior Correspondent Jeff Weaver and Senior Correspondent Adam von Romer.
Mr. Weaver, I realize you were out driving through the western portion of the country, talking to the man on the street, doing breakfast meetings, etc., to get the common folk take on the current crisis in the Ukraine. And I was wondering just exactly what you had found in some of the conversations and comments you might have heard while you were out there.
Well, as you can imagine, the West is a bastion of support for the current administration. Old foreign policy initiatives, and to be more serious, there's not a lot of sympathy for the president's sort of lead from behind position with regard to the Ukrainians. I think of the people that I spoke to who had any opinion at all or who had any idea what Ukraine was or where it was or anything like that, they supported a very, shall we say, robust policy. They're not interested in getting into a war with Russia, but they certainly like the idea in general. And of course, it depends how you phrase it to, you know, get any answer you want, depending on how you phrase the question. I think they're very sympathetic to the Ukrainians, and of course, the images on TV with the hospital being bombed, the maternity ward, things like that just create such a stark impression that you really can't fail to be moved to want to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in general there's a lot of support for the types of weapons that have been supplied. I think people in general are perhaps more, I don't know if the word is hawkish, than the current president is, in that I think they're more open to supplying fighter jets of some type. Although, as we discussed in the previous podcast, or one of the previous podcasts yesterday, there is some debate as to how useful these older MiGs would be against the advanced Russian fighter jets, which supposedly have a much longer range. But there's a symbolic aspect to that as well. But you and I had spoken about the concern that if you get a bunch of these planes and they all get shot down, that's kind of a bit of a downer for your side as far as morale.
Yeah, that
the
would
whole
be
Air Force is wiped out in about 20 minutes.
So would it be fair to say that the grit basket of America is pretty much in support of Ukrainian people and a slightly more, not necessarily hawkish, but certainly is slightly more, Jeff, hang on a second. We're getting a flash here. You know, Jeff, I hate to interrupt this conversation, but it would appear that there's some things brewing in Russia that look like they may lead to ending the conflict. Burger King just announced that they are not supporting the 800 franchise restaurants in Russia any longer.
That'll bring them to their knees.
According to this report, Burger King is shutting out Russian franchisees over the war in the Ukraine. Nearly 800 franchisees, and that was announced just a moment ago, from Burger King's corporate headquarters down in Miami. In fact, it says here that Burger King is joining a growing list of countries looking to pressure the Russians over their invasion of the Ukraine. And further, it says that, you know, Burger King is going to throw $3 million in humanitarian aid to the Ukrainians directly in the face of this Russian opposition. Also joining Burger King, and this is, I mean, ripped right from the headlines today, Tim Hortons, Popeyes, and Firehouse Subs, with a collective $35 billion in annual sales and 29 restaurants worldwide. So it would appear that they're shutting down all the franchisees. However, it looks like in order to continue, you know, having a presence there, Burger King is going to continue to own and operate non-franchise stores themselves. And I've got to believe that that's going to have some substantial impact on the Russians' continuing aggression and pursuit of this. What do we want to call it, a war? Do we want to call it a police action? Or just how would you like to characterize that? And more importantly, what are your thoughts on the this announcement I just got on my news desk?
Well, I guess the first question is with regard to the $3 million of aid that you mentioned, will they just be dropping Whoppers via parachute into Ukraine, or is it some other type of aid?
I have no earthly idea. The report didn't go into any detail on that, but that, one, Russians are simply mad, for lack of a better term, over the croissandwiches. And as you mentioned earlier, I think that the impact of not having a ready and steady source of Whoppers is certainly going to cause a hue and cry among the public.
Oh, I think that might really impact Putin's ability to continue remaining in power. You know, you take people's Whoppers away, they get really ticked off.
Yeah. I'm wondering, now, is this like the harbinger of more to come? Maybe there won't be any more Big Macs? shortly, or those golden crispy fries, or, you know, that McDonald's is known for? Do you think this might be an isolated incident in the fast food industry?
Well, you know, McDonald's is known for its golden crispy fries, and the only problem, of course, is in the cold Russian winter, those golden crispy fries become like packing materials after about 20 minutes in the cold, but they are delicious in the beginning there. So, well, it certainly is interesting to me that you mentioned that Burger King was keeping its corporate-owned stores there and cutting off the franchisees. So I'm not really sure what to draw from that, if Burger King's all in or if they're just saying, well, we're not going to be totally all in. We're going to be all in insofar as it's the franchisees, but our corporate-owned stores we're going to keep running. But I don't know what corporate-owned stores they have either.
I was thinking, I can see maybe what they're thinking is the impact to the Russian oligarchs and all of the, you know, Politburo members, etc., that in fact are Burger King franchisees, are going to really feel this in their wallet. And while Burger King maintains their presence corporately there, that'll also give them the wherewithal to continue to provide comfort and solace, certainly to the Ukrainians, at the Russians' expense.
Well, I think it's going to be very impressive when the Whoppers are raining from the skies over Ukraine. That's going to be a very inspirational, almost mythological moment in Ukrainian history that future generations will talk about, when manna with beef on it and lettuce and ketchup rain from the heavens. So it's going to be very inspiring. I can't wait to see the spectacle of that.
Well, you can almost hear strains of Flight of the Valkyries, like we heard in Apocalypse Now, I believe it was, you know, where Robert Duvall goes flying over the villages and, you know, hear the da-da-da-da-da, and thousands of Whoppers suspended on parachutes or dropped over Kiev and the surrounding environs in the Ukraine.
I wonder if the Whoppers will freeze on the way down, because, you know, that packaging really isn't that sturdy. So if they come down frozen and they hit people, well, that's going to be a bit of a PR problem.
Yeah, but again, you know, let's think about this. They'll probably be suspended on some kind of small parachute, you know, to prevent that from happening. I mean, you certainly don't want to drop a Whopper, you know, 47,000 feet, have it freeze, and begin to pelt the citizenry of Kiev further abysmal city.
Although with the type of momentum, something would get dropped from that height, you know, maybe they could aim them at Russian tanks.
And well, yeah, that's
actually, there's some fast food places that, you know, you might not even have to freeze them to put a dent in a tank if you dropped it from high enough spot.
Sure.
So that's a thought, too. Nobody's tried Whopper.
Carpet bombing?
Artillery fire. Yeah, Whopper bombing, basically.
Yeah, Whopper bombing. I think of that in terms of, you know, the carpet bombing that we did in Vietnam and things like that. And it brings me back to and you're certainly probably as well, more well-versed on this as I am, but when you drop something from a height, I think the formula is 32 feet per second per second. Well, if you're 37,000 feet in the air, that's a pretty fast Whopper.
That's going to make a very big dent in a Russian tank. So you're thinking this could be quite the offensive weapon that Zelensky has been looking for. Zelensky,
yeah, certainly. And then the other side effect is, if in fact they do reach the ground and in some state of preservation, will provide, like we talked about earlier, a little bit of comfort for the Ukrainian people.
I wonder if the Whopper would fit inside a bazooka cannon. You could just use that as artillery.
I almost think you'd have to stick multiple Whoppers in there to get kind of that, for lack of a better term, almost like the shotgun projectile effect. I'm certain that the rifling in the barrel of a piece of field artillery is not going to affect a Whopper, but
no, probably not.
Yeah,
but
unless the lettuce is hanging out of the bun, and maybe that would get caught in the grooves and lands of the barrel, and, you know, certainly give it a more robust trajectory. Although it's a shame that Dr. Gerald Bull is no longer with us. He was the inventor of the super gun, as you'll recall. Mm-hmm. And if anybody could know how to shoot a Whopper long range down on the target, Dr. Gerald Bull would have known how to do that. Unfortunately, he got caught in the middle of a turf war in a Belgium apartment building, and he was shot something like 27 times with a 9mm, and nobody else was there. I guess they fled the scene after the violence. That was
very ironic, isn't it, that the inventor of that type of
weapon
dies. The super gun dies of small arms fire.
Yep, back to the announcement. I think that this is going to have a huge impact, certainly more than, you know, the sanctions or attempting to round up the oligarchs. And I understand that the French are now sailing their fleet to try and interdict and basically take over some of the oligarchs' super yachts. And maybe
the
even
French are up to taking over the super yachts. I'm not really aware of the capabilities of the French Navy. I know they had a Navy.
Yeah, I was going to say, my guess is they'll probably use something like the Exocet missile against them, which is, you know, pretty notoriously lethal. And they'll have the upper hand, certainly, against the oligarchs in their yachts. But that's another story for another time. But I thought this was important enough to warrant a call and pulling you away from the law desk and discussing this in real time.
Oh, that absolutely is. And, you know, as a follow-up to what we were talking about yesterday, the $800 million security aid package, I did get a more detailed printout as to the various goodies that are included in that. And maybe we might just talk about it for a few minutes.
Sure, absolutely. We've got some time, certainly.
It doesn't, of course, include any type of fighter jets or anything like that. It's largely things for the Ukrainian army, but there are 800 of the Stinger anti-aircraft systems. There are 2,000 Javelin anti-tank missiles, 1,000 light anti-armor weapons, 6,000 AT-4 anti-armor weapons. Let's see what else we've got here. 100 drones, those switchblade kamikaze drones that we talked about yesterday.
Ah.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I'm surprised in $800 million, and we sort of went on a little bit about that, why we only get 100 drones out of this thing, but who knows? So maybe the White House is keeping a few of them for itself just for any future insurrections in the Capitol.
Could be.
Let's see, 100 grenade launchers, 5,000 rifles, 1,000 pistols, 400 machine guns, 400 shotguns, more than 20 million rounds of small ammunition, as well as grenade launchers and mortar rounds, 25,000 sets of body armor, 25,000 helmets, and but that's apparently part amounted to about $2 billion worth of equipment that's been given to the Ukraine since January 2021. So not to belabor the point, but previously, apparently they had given around 600 of these Stinger anti-aircraft systems and approximately 2,600 of the Javelin anti-tank systems, several helicopters, some patrol boats. I don't see any whoppers in here or anything, but so things of that sort. Oh, yes, and as I noticed at the bottom in a footnote, it says 10% for the big guy.
Yeah, as you see, 10% for the big guy. Do you think they're referring to Zelensky himself or think something else is afoot there?
I don't know. Maybe somebody who's very tall, Ukrainian basketball player or...
No. That does bring up some questions, and hopefully we'll have some time to research that a little bit further. But yeah, it sounds like in the face of what Ukraine's being overrun with, their superiority is a negative 2-1 at this point. Do you think, didn't the Russians throw 50,000 men in there the other day? Or are throwing 50,000 men in?
I think supposedly the latest figures I've seen is that they have supposedly 180,000 troops roaming around the country in whatever capacity. I don't know if those are all combat troops or if that includes support or whatever. I mean, everything that we've heard, the logistics and the support has been a bit of a nightmare for them. Mm-hmm. So, and I guess at this point, they still haven't captured any major cities. They appear to be trying to encircle Kiev, of course. That's a big deal. But the Ukrainians appear to be adopting kind of a classic hit-and-run type of strategy, which has been used by undermanned forces for really hundreds of years.
I mean, time immemorial.
Really. They haven't really gotten drawn out into battle directly across from the Russians in a flat area or something. They've been hitting them from the sides. I believe that they were doing raids when those convoys were backed up on that road to Kiev. They were, as I understand it, doing a number of raids on those convoys, coming out of the woods and then blowing up whatever they could blow up and then disappearing back into the woods. I believe the convoy has since dispersed. They finally figured out that probably wasn't a good idea to have them all lined up like that. But I think the Ukrainians are pursuing kind of the classic guerrilla insurgency tactics that Putin would be looking at long term if he were to continue this operation. I guess the interesting question is, everybody's speculating about what Putin is thinking or what's in his mind and so forth. And I don't know if you, Adam, have any thoughts as to how he must look at things or what do you think is driving him in his decision making with regard to this whole thing, including the decision to get involved in this in the first place.
That's a fair and certainly a good question. I have given it considerable thought, and I'm trying to look at the overall picture. What's the end game? What is he hoping to gain by all of this? And, you know, what's the resolution? What does he and Russia get from this incursion? And if it doesn't go their way, and I think the tide of, with the Whopper thing, I think the tide will be turning very rapidly here. Again, I just don't see what it is. I would have to question his judgment, and certainly it may raise questions about his tenuous grip on reality doesn't make a whole lot of sense militarily or, as far as I'm concerned, geopolitically. And never a good thing for you to turn yourself into a global pariah. It's not a good thing. It really isn't.
Wait, you don't get to go to those conferences in Gstaad, Switzerland every year when you become a pariah. So that's kind of a huge blow, I would think.
Yeah, and you can bet that the Bilderbergs society will drop you like a hot rock.
Oh, yeah, you lose all of those VIP passes to rock concerts. You won't be able to see Pearl Jam backstage anymore, but maybe you used to before. It could be devastating.
Well, and I understand that from what I've seen, that Pearl Jam is very, I wouldn't want to put that, but important to Vladimir Putin, his relationship to that group.
I believe he considers himself sort of an extra member of the band.
It's possible. Yeah, that raises all kinds. Well, and I understand he's one hell of a tambourine player.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised, but he and Eddie Vedder are big buddies, and got to believe that losing that backstage pass is going to hurt. You go to all this trouble, claw your way up the rungs of power in Russia, lots of people to get up there, and then for what? Suddenly all those little perks that you were hoping you would have because you are the undisputed ruler of Russia are ripped away. I don't even know if he could get a decent billing on a WWF card these days as Vlad the Killer, Vlad the Tater.
Well, I really don't see that happening. Just do not see that happening. I think he's pretty much lost that. I think he's lost that credibility on the world stage. I just don't see where he goes from here.
Well, you really just kind of wonder about the whole Russia mentality. I was reading an article by a historian. He had talked about Russia. Russia really hasn't changed so much in the way it views the world, because there are people out there who say, well, maybe if we had made overtures to Putin, or we had done more to neutralize Ukraine or rebuffed any requests more forcefully regarding NATO or the EU, basically said that we're not letting you in effect sealing off Ukraine from the rest of Europe by whatever means, that somehow Putin would not have been inclined to invade. But what this historian, whose name I don't recall, but what he was saying is that Russia for centuries has had this attitude toward the world that they want to be a great power, they want to be seen as a great power. But they don't always have the means to project the power needed to be the great power. There were times in history where they had maximized their power, like right after World War II, the Russian army through half of Europe. But they said that historically, they've never really had the economic power to project outward in a way, in a sustained way. To match their aspirations.
Jeff, I have something coming in on the printer. Hold that thought for a second. Let me see what this is. Might be more breaking news.
I hope McDonald's is coming in.
Hang on, that's printing right now, Jeff. I'm sure you can hear the printer in the background. Let me get quick, grab this and take a look at it. Maybe something's relevant. No, this is a cast iron biscuit recipe. My mistake, sorry about that.
So who's going to get involved in this too?
Well, you think about that. McDonald's is probably the world's leading franchisor. I would imagine that if they join suit, which it's quite possible, that will in fact bring Russia and probably most of what the former Soviet Union to its knees. Anybody that supports that, they're pretty much going to suffer.
If you can't
Jeff,
get a